the cross, preach redemption to a lost and dying world. Lift your voice unashamed of the gospel of his name.
If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter number 2, as we're continuing our study through this tremendous book. And if you are able, would you please stand as we read the Word of God together? And this is His holy, infallible, and errant Word from Him to us. Ruth chapter 2, begin reading in verse number 14. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave it to her she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, she said, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in another field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. I want to speak to you this morning on this thought, greatly blessed and highly favored. Our gracious and kind Heavenly Father, Lord, we humbly bow ourselves before your presence, Lord, this morning. We thank you, Lord, for as a song has very simply but yet profoundly said, that you are good. You are good to us. When we are so undeserving, Lord, you have been pouring out your blessings upon us, and we thank you, Lord, for each and every one of them. Lord, may you give us a heart of thanksgiving, a heart full of gratitude toward the one who's been so good to us. And Father, as we look at this precious passage of Scripture today, Father, I pray that you would bless. I pray that you would speak through me, fill me with your Spirit, hide me behind the cross, and bless your people. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. After you read the first chapter of the book of Ruth, you probably would not describe Ruth as someone who was greatly blessed and highly favored, because you see the hardships of the circumstances that life had thrown at her. At the start of chapter 2, we see Ruth on her way to find a field where she can hopefully glean some barley. hopefully find enough food for her and her mother-in-law. At this point of her life, we might be tempted to say that Ruth is down on her luck, because we consider the facts that she was an outsider in Israel. She was a foreigner. She was a Moabite, not an Israelite. She was very, very poor. And she was a widow. And the eyes of the day and time in which she lived, and the eyes of the culture that she lived in, she was very much in dire straits. She was in a horrible situation. But in the eyes of God, Ruth is right where He wants her. And what we have seen thus far in our study of the book of Ruth is the providence of God and the sovereignty of God is working behind the scenes. God is working to place two people together, and through that divinely inspired meeting where Ruth meets Boaz, the entire nation of Israel is going to be changed. Ruth is about to be blessed in a way that is absolutely amazing and astonishing as we look at this. At this point of the story, Ruth has no idea how all of this is going to play out. She has no idea that she is going to be playing a key role in the drama of redemption of fallen man. She has no clue that she will be the great-grandmother of none other than Israel's greatest king, King David. She has certainly no clue that her name is going to appear in the genealogy of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew chapter 1. Ruth is just living her life from day to day, realizing how desperate her circumstances are. She's coping with the loss of her husband at a very young age. She's leaving. She's coping with that, leaving her homeland behind, leaving her family behind, and entering into a new land. She is just living life every day like we do. She is absolutely unaware of the big picture. She is not able to see what God is doing, how He's working these things for His good and for His glory. And while Ruth is doing something that is seemingly insignificant, in Ruth chapter 2, she's gleaning for food. She's gleaning for barley. While she is gleaning, she just so happens to meet the owner of the field, Boaz. And Ruth caught his eye. She ate lunch at his table and personally served her the food. Oh, we see here in our text that Ruth found grace in the sight of Boaz. And as we learned last week, Boaz is a type or a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, just as Boaz blessed Ruth beyond measure, also the Lord Jesus blesses us in many ways that we cannot comprehend. Listen, have you stopped and considered lately how much God has blessed you with? Have you considered lately all the blessings that He has bestowed upon you? I'm reminded of the old hymn by John Oatman, the hymn, "Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings and see what God has done." All of us need to count our blessings to see what God has done. Not just during the Thanksgiving season, but every day ought to be a Thanksgiving day to the one who has blessed us. It would not take long for us to realize that the Lord has blessed us. He has loaded us with His blessings. When we consider the goodness of God, when we consider His blessings upon us, we would be able to say, as Naomi said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." So I want us to consider these blessings in our life, and as we look at the blessings that Ruth found while she was gleaning in the fields of Boaz. The first thing I want you to notice with me this morning is this: how God enriches us through His blessings. God enriches us through His blessings. Our text tells us, and the context reveals for us, the blessings that Ruth experienced. I mean, this had been for Ruth a wonderful, wonderful day. This was a day, a much brighter day than what she had ever had before. Ruth walked into the field of Boaz. She walked in there with nothing. She was just hoping to pick up enough fragments of grain to feed her and her mother-in-law. Ruth came into this field empty, but she would not leave the field that way. All through the generous hand of Boaz, God would see to it that Ruth would walk away full and with plenty left over for her mother-in-law. But one of the things that the blessings of God do for us is that they always and should always increase our knowledge of who God is. You see, through all that happened on this day for Ruth, Ruth was growing in her knowledge of her new God. She was learning what God could do. She was learning what He was like. Oh, listen, when we consider the blessings of God upon our life, we can learn how we can trust His Word. We can trust His promises. We can understand something about His power. We can understand something about His provision. I want to show you what I'm talking about. And I want us to kind of look back at this day in Ruth's life and remind you of what happened, and notice how the blessings of the day, of this day, taught Ruth about God. First of all, Ruth learned something about the providence of God. God is in control. Now, I don't have to belabor this point because Marty's already preached this point to you this morning. I'm glad that he did. God is in control. She learned something of the providence of God. Ruth 2 and verse 3 tells us, "Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who is in the family of Elimelech." That is her deceased father-in-law. So in this blessing of God, she was learning that God was in control. She was learning that God had a plan and a purpose for her life, and that God was ordering things, and God was overruling things to bring that plan to fruition. Listen, even though her life up to this point, when we look at it from a human perspective, it looked like the pits. It looked very sad, but listen, she was learning that even in the sad times of our life, that God is in control. She was learning the truth that, yes, things happen, but things just don't happen. There is a God who is ordering things. There is a God who is overruling certain things. And listen, we could say that Romans 8:28 is spread over in the background of this chapter, Ruth chapter 2. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose. Paul says all things work together for good. The sweet things work together for good. The sad things, the sorrowful things, the sinful things even. Oh, she learned something about the providence of God. She also learned something about the provision of God. Verse 14 says, "Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, 'Come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar.' So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her. And she ate and was satisfied and kept some back." Verse 17 says, "And so she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley." Here we see something about the provision of God that she learned. Now, we don't use the term ephah today as a measurement. Quite frankly, I wouldn't know the difference between an ephah and an ounce. But there are scholars who have studied the ancient measurements, and they tell us that an ephah would be somewhere around 5.5 gallons of barley. 5.5 gallons of barley would weigh somewhere around 30 pounds. So this would be more than enough grain for Ruth and Naomi for several days. But Ruth learned that day, and it is something that we must learn in this day, that when God opens up His hand to give and to bless, He has a mighty big hand, and from it He can pour out all of your needs and then some. Hey, listen, there are some here today who need to trust the provision of God. You need to trust the provision of God. You may have a physical need. You may have a financial need. You may have a spiritual need. But listen to me this morning. Trust in the God who takes care of the little birds. If He takes care of the little birds of the air, how much more is He going to care for you? Trust in the provision of God. So she learned something about providence. She learned something about provision. But she also learned something about praise. Verse 10 says that after she experienced the blessings of Boaz, her heart was filled with gratitude and praise. It says, "And so she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?'" Oh, listen, the blessings that she experienced moved her to humility, and it moved her to gratitude. Her heart is absolutely overwhelmed at the result. Or rather, her heart is absolutely overwhelmed. And a result of that is that she has an overwhelmingly gratitude-filled heart. And listen, the same thing should be true with us today. Listen, the goodness of God, the blessings of God, should inspire gratitude to our God who bestows those things to us. But is it not sad that we are better at complaining than we are being thankful? I mean, really, just look at your life. How easy is it for you to spew out a complaint than it is a thanksgiving, a thankful word? You know, even as children, as toddlers, we have to teach them to give thanks. We don't have to teach our children how to gripe and complain, do we? It comes natural. We do have to teach them how to be thankful. Oh, listen to me. How sad it is that we're better at complaining than we are being thankful. And we know that as believers, we know that our true wealth, it may not be reflected in our checkbook. Listen, our true wealth is revealed in God's book, the Holy Word of God. It is in God's Word. Listen, we really see how truly blessed we are. I love Ephesians chapter 1. Because there in Ephesians chapter 1, it talks about all the real blessings, the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. They are everlasting blessings. They are eternal blessings. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us this, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has placed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We start thinking about the blessings, the spiritual blessings that we have. And in Ephesians chapter 1, he starts listing just a few of them. For instance, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, he mentions something about that we are blessed. And the first blessing is the election of the saints. The election of the saints. In verse 4, he says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And so it tells us that God has chosen to save us. He has chosen to make us holy because of his love for us and because of his good pleasure and because of his good grace. Oh, my dear friend, what a blessing we have in Christ. That even though that we were dead in trespasses and sin, God chose to extend grace to us and offer us eternal salvation. And what is even more amazing is that when we realize that He made that decision before sin ever entered the world. He said, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. The second blessing that we see here is in verse 5 where it talks about our adoption of His children. That is, God grants us full status as His children with all of the benefits. I love how John put it in John chapter 1. He says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the children of God. Listen, when we believe the gospel, when we are saved by faith, we receive full access to the Father. We're able to call out to Him as His children. That's a spiritual blessing. A third blessing is found in verse 6 where it talks about that we were made accepted in the Beloved. The word there is related to grace. And it gives the idea of making us favorable through Christ, who is the Beloved of God. And so when we put on Christ, when we are saved, the Father sees Christ's loveliness when He looks at us. He sees Christ's righteousness. And so the blood of Christ has taken away the guilt of our sins, and we stand before the Father as perfectly accepted. That's another spiritual blessing. And then blessings 4 and 5 are these, that we have been redeemed by His blood, and we have been forgiven of our sins. Ephesians 1:7 says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to His riches of grace. What is this thing of redemption? Well, redemption speaks of buying one's freedom, paying a ransom. Listen, the price for our sins was fully paid, beloved, not by gold, not by silver, but the price of our sins was fully paid by the blood, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in paying the ransom for our sins, the debt of sins was canceled and we are forgiven. You want to know how rich you really are and how blessed you really are? You look at these spiritual blessings. And you'll see very quickly how rich a blessed life that God has bestowed upon you. Listen, those are just a few of the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. And so when we realize this and when we reflect on the blessings that we have in Christ, our hearts ought to be overwhelmed with gratitude as Ruth's was to Boaz. Notice the second thing. Not only how God entrusts or enriches us with His blessings, but notice secondly how God entrusts us with His blessings. There in verse 17, we saw Ruth returning home with an ephah of barley, about 30 pounds of barley. She has more barley than she knows what to do with. Now the question is, what is she going to do with all that barley? And what should we do? What should we do with all the blessings that we have been given from the Lord? Well, notice that, first of all, in verse 18, notice the blessings of our life. The blessings that God bestows upon us will be seen by others. Verse 18 tells us, then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. So Ruth made her way back to Bethlehem, and upon her arrival, she showed Naomi what all she had gleaned. That ephah of barley, about 30 pounds of barley. Naomi saw with her own eyes the abundance of barley that Ruth had gleaned. And her response is in verse 19. Verse 19 says, and her mother-in-law said to her, where have you gleaned today? Where did you work today? Blessed be the one who took notice of you. Hey, listen, Naomi knew that the abundance of barley that Ruth had came from a special giver of grace. Naomi knew that somebody was a very gracious person. She saw this with her own eyes. Oh, listen, beloved, it is wonderful. It is wonderful when others are able to see how good God is in our life. It is wonderful when others are able to see the goodness and the greatness of Almighty God in our very life. You see, the reality is, God's blessings in our life are designed to show a lost world of the goodness of God. Naomi saw the blessings of God in Ruth's life. I wonder, this morning, do others see God's blessings in our life? Can others look at our life and see that it is very obvious that God is doing something in our life? Maybe you are experiencing a peace that passes all understanding in a storm. Maybe you are experiencing strength beyond that which you can produce in time of weakness. And others see this. They know this. They see this in your life. There's an interesting statement found in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 tells us, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are His own special people. And He says this, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That word proclaim there is a word that means to publish or to advertise. Hey, listen, as Christians, we are given the distinct privilege of telling the world that Christ has the power to change lives. Christ has the power to pull a soul that is encased in darkness. Christ is able to pull that person out into the marvelous light of His salvation. And so we are to proclaim through our lives God's goodness to us. And so the question is, can others look at your life and very quickly see God's blessings upon it? Notice also in verse 18, the blessings of our life should not only be seen by others, but they should be shared with others. Verse 18 tells us, and she brought out and gave her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. Oh, listen, you remember that in verse 14 where Ruth ate lunch with Boaz and that she ate until she was full. And that last phrase says, and she kept some back. Well, she's given that some back, that leftover now to Naomi, her mother-in-law. So what does this reveal to us about Ruth? Ruth is not selfish. She wants to share with Naomi what she has. And my soul, what a lesson for us this morning. That we are not to hoard God's blessings. We are not to hoard, we're not to store up the blessings of God, but we are to share them with others. Whatever our blessings are that we have been given by God, listen, they have been given for us to use for His glory. Whether it be a talent, whether it be a spiritual gift, whether it be financial resources, His blessings are given to us so that we might share them with others. Sadly, many believers are like the Dead Sea. You know why the Dead Sea is given that name, the Dead Sea? It's because of the very high salt content that's found in the water. So much salt content found in this water that very little life exists there. And the reason that there is such a high amount of salt in the sea, in the Dead Sea is because it has six main inlets and no outlets. You see, it's always taken in, but it's never giving out. Oh, listen, we who experience the blessings of God, we who have experienced the goodness of God, are to extend those blessings to those around us. We take in the blessings and we are to give out those blessings to others. We glean and then we are to give. That's a principle found throughout all of Scripture. We see this so very well illustrated in the life of Ruth. Notice not only how God enriches us by His blessings, and notice not only how God entrusts us, but notice thirdly how God employs us by His blessings. Listen, the blessings that we experience actually become an instrument in the hand of God to bless others. The food we glean becomes food that others can eat. I hear people say from time to time, oh, I just want God to use me. I want God to use me. Well, listen, one way that God will use us is through what He has already done in us and for us. We see in our text how God used the blessings of Ruth to be a blessing to her mother-in-law. Notice how God takes our blessings and uses them for His glory. Notice in verse 20, that God uses our blessings to encourage a weak faith. God encourages, through our blessings, encourages those who are weak in the faith. Verse 20 says, then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be He of the Lord, who has not forsaken His kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said, this man is of a relation of ours, one of our close relatives. So here's Naomi. She's saying, blessed be He of the Lord. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you remember the Naomi of chapter 1? The Naomi of chapter 1 was rather discouraging. She was rather discouraging, to say the least. She was rather rude, you could even say. I mean, here's a lady that told both of her daughters-in-law, hey, don't come with me back home. You stay here. And then when Ruth, one of the daughters-in-law, was going to go no matter what, Naomi said, when she made that decision to go, there is no word whatsoever that Naomi said, oh, I'm so thankful that you're going with me back home. I have so many people that want to meet you. Actually, it says that Naomi said not a word to Ruth after Ruth made that decision. So she was rather rude. And by her own admission in chapter 1, she said when she got home to Bethlehem, she said, hey, don't call me Naomi. Don't call me pleasant. Don't call me sweet. Call me Mara. Bitter. That's how she was. And even in the beginning of chapter 2, it seems that her bitterness has turned into depression, and that depression into despondency. And we see this, if you will remember, in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 2, where Ruth says, hey, I'm going to go work. I'm going to go glean for some food. The only thing that Naomi says to her is, go, my daughter. There's no thank you. There's no, hey, I appreciate you doing that for me because I need to eat too. And also the fact that Naomi is not an elderly lady. And there's nowhere in Scripture that she is incapable of working. She could have herself helped her daughter-in-law, but she did not. She just said, hey, just go, my daughter. But that many times is what happens when we let bitterness in our lives. It turns into depression. That depression turns into despondency. You don't want to do nothing. That's Naomi of chapter 1. But something happens to Naomi the moment that Ruth walks in the door with all of that barley. It is like she was saying, when she saw all of that, that God has not forgotten me. He still loves me. He still cares for me. And we see here that her weak faith was strengthened. How? By the blessings that she observed from her daughter-in-law. Do you see how that Ruth had a need in her life? And God met that need? And then by that which God met Ruth's need, Naomi's needs are met. Think about your life. All of the needs you have had and all of the needs that God has met every single time. Listen, many times God wants to take what He has done for us and how He has comforted us and met our needs so that we can use that to help others. There's a great verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. I love that. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Hey, listen. There are those in this room that maybe have lost a loved one. Those who have lost a spouse. Those who have lost a parent. There are those in this room who may have wayward children. There are those who have been diagnosed at some point in their life with a disease. Listen, God can use you to bless, to be a blessing to others by the comfort that you have received. You are to comfort those who are in a time of storm. You can share what you have learned. You can share of what you have received from the Lord. Notice in verse 20 how that God uses our blessings to not only bring about a weak faith, to help a weak faith, but also God uses our blessings to bring about a worshiping faith. Verse 20, Naomi said, "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." Hey, here's a new word that we see Naomi using, the word blessed. So we've moved from bitterness to blessedness. And when Naomi saw the grain there in verse 19, she blessed the man who allowed Ruth to work in his field. And when she heard that the man was Boaz, her kinsman, Naomi blessed the Lord. Oh, what a change has taken place in the life of Naomi. The word bless is a word that means to kneel. It is an act of adoration. It is an act of praise. And so now Naomi praises God. The weak faith that she had earlier now has been transformed into a worshiping faith. God uses, He used Ruth's blessing to encourage Naomi's weak faith that resulted in Naomi's worshiping faith. Listen, what God has done in our lives may be that which God will use to make Himself known in someone else's life. As we close this message, we also learn in our text the truthfulness of Paul's words when he said that, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." My God shall supply all your need. Now, sometimes you might agree with me, it doesn't seem that way, does it? No, listen, sometimes it may seem as if God has turned His face away. It may seem to us sometimes that God has closed His ears to our prayers. Yet the book of Ruth is a glorious testimony to Paul's statement that God will supply your need. Oh, listen, in her grief, in her time of confusion, Naomi misunderstood God. And she misjudged Ruth. She failed to see that the Lord is the God who welcomes the outsider. Amen. He's a God that welcomes the foreigner. And she had forgotten as well that He is the Good Shepherd who does not stop showing His covenant faithfulness to wandering sheep such as she. Listen, those of us who live, which is all of us, in the New Testament era, should see the constant faithfulness and glorious grace of our God, listen, with much more clarity than what Naomi ever could. We have God's holy word. Naomi didn't have that. We have God's holy word. We have a record of God's patience. We have a record of God's long suffering with His rebellious children. And so we should never throw Naomi under the bus when we have much more revelation of God than she ever did. Yet many times we are just as guilty as she is. Notice as well the remedy for our hard and bitter hearts. You say, "Brother Wade, what is the remedy? I've got a hard heart. I'm bitter. How do I get over that?" Here's how you do it. You ponder upon God's awesome grace. You meditate upon God's faithfulness. Listen, if we fix our eyes upon this, if we fix our hearts on the glorious grace of God, then we will not be so quick to doubt that He will ever meet our every need that we have. And understand and notice that our Lord and Savior, who commits Himself to be with us in the midst of suffering, He's promised that He's going to be with us in the midst of suffering. Understand that He knew what it meant to suffer. I remind you this morning that the hands that comfort us are nail-scarred hands. He was bruised and died for us. And because He suffered on our behalf, He is able to be our refuge in the storms that we face. He is our Redeemer. His mercies never come to an end. Hallelujah. His mercies, the Scripture tells us, are new every morning. And one of these days, when we cross this old world of time and enter into the land of no time, we're going to say, "Great is Thy faithfulness." Oh, Lord, let's pray together. Lord, I'm just so blessed to even to try to utter such things of describing Your grace and describing Your faithfulness. Father, how that You loved us when we were yet sinners, and You are faithful to us when we have failed You many times. We have had in our lives, in different moments, a heart that was hard and cold, a heart that is full of bitterness. So, Father, I pray that Your people today, who have sat under the listening of Your Word, would ponder upon Your grace. They would think about and meditate upon Your glorious grace and Your unfailing faithfulness to us. And Lord, may You remind us of all the blessings that You have bestowed upon us. Or we're not to keep them for ourselves. We're to share them with others. And really, this makes up the life of the local church. For Your Word tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 that we are to gather together and encourage one another in the faith, edifying one another, being a blessing, giving a blessing, and receiving a blessing. So, Father, I pray that, Lord, that You would bless this time of response, that You bless the listener. Pray that You would teach them the things that You would have them to learn of You. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Preach the word, preach the cross, preach redemption.